which is incredible for our church. We've been doing that for years now. It's called the Adult Daycare. And it usually lasts about an hour from 10 to 11. You can see Stella, she's over here, or Sophie on the front row. And they'll tell you all about how you can go participate and be part of that from 10 to 11 at the Adult Daycare right in our community. And thank God for faithful people being a blessing to, they're outside of the four walls, amen? Really, that's where the church is. This is our gathering point, which we'll talk about, but we're really about being outside the four walls. It's our mission, it's our purpose, and what we're called to. But this Friday was exceptional because we had two outreaches going. We had our John Jay Feed outreach going, and so over 400 students came out and were fed, and they were blessed by our great burgers and hot dogs. We only had, what I can count is one non-student come in, but he promised to bring back a love offering. Isn't that good? And I don't see him, amen, because I'm looking for the big paycheck for him. But maybe he'll come Wednesday. We're holding out for him to come. So it took a lot of preparation, of course, all afternoon out there. A lot of people got good sunburn. Some of you look purple in this room, so that's because of the sun. And so I thank God, amen. And your generosity also, that if you weren't able to make up because of your work schedule, I understand, but you gave towards it. And everyone got fed, and thank God for a generous church like you. David and Irene, I want to thank you. Amen. You guys are a blessing. Brian Duncan, also Maria Doolittle, Angie Ramos, Richard and Francis, Daisy Garza. Amen. You are a blessing. Jessica Acosta, Michael and Comfort Montgomery. And man, are you out of breath already? All these helpers, Gabe and Christina Martinez, who are in our children's wing, led the charge and organized it. And I'm, again, it's just the greatest day that I have is always just serving alongside. I don't have to do what I do on Sundays, but just getting out there and separating burgers for David to throw them on the grill was awesome. Yeah, amen. Learned a lot about cooking, man. Maybe I can cook now, right? So let's welcome our first time guest to Living Faith. When we do outreaches, the church grows. Amen. So we're most honored that you're here at Living Faith. And we're blessed that you're here, you and your family. And it'd be my honor and Irma's honor to shake your hand right outside the foyer. It will be in the cafe area by our new leather, slightly used couch. Amen. It's a nice one. Amen. Have you already sat on it? Check that thing out. Amen. Take it for a test drive and that'll be blessed. We're Living Faith Church. Faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Let's welcome our Facebook Live audience. Come on, give them a big, big hand. We have faithful people that attend church. This is their church. They're here every Sunday and they go to Living Faith Live on Facebook. And so if you have a chance and if you're in San Antonio, please come visit us. We're right next to John Jay High School. You'll meet the finest people because they're in this room today. So make sure you're our guest in the coming weeks and join us today. Well, we all have questions, as the video said. And we took last Easter a survey when everyone showed up to church. And we took the top six. And so we covered things like the Holy Spirit, spiritual warfare. We're on the third question most asked. And the third most question asked is really how to hear God. Do you have your message notes? You're going to need those for the journey. If you didn't get those, we give those away free right at the entrance. Raise your hand high. I have ushers that are ready to give those to you. I'm sorry I missed that, guys, but you're always available. And I think they're also going to be popped up for you on Facebook. You're going to see those, and you'll be able to go along the journey with us. Aren't we just a sharp church? Man, we have it together, don't we? Amen. After all these years, these guys got it together. Look at them, man. They're just moving everywhere. Thank God for them. Amen. I think it's real mature as a body of believers to ask a question like, how do I hear the voice of God? And it should be coming up on the big screen any moment now. And if it's not, it's because I messed it up back there. Okay, here it is. All right, everybody. I heard a funny story about two guys named Porfulio and Hulano. Do y'all remember them? And so Porfulio says, you know, he's talking to him on the phone, his friend Hulano. He says, are you visiting us tomorrow? He goes, man, do you need directions? And Hulano says, all set. I have the address. I got the GPS, and I got the GPS override. And Porfulio said, what's a GPS override? He said, that's my wife. Don't you hate when... Don't you hate when your GPS goes silent and after you've been driving down the road for about, you know, 50 miles, you go, I wonder if it's still like, should I be turning it this way or that way? And maybe I didn't adjust it right. And see, I think spiritually, God is always speaking. He really is. Not that God doesn't shut up, but when we speak to Him, He speaks to us. And when you wonder about the questions of your life, God is speaking. But so many of us, we think God is silent, and He really is not. We just need to get into the place of listening to the Lord, because He's always speaking. One of the greatest benefits that you have as a believer is that God is personal now. God is a personal God. He's a Father that has a relationship with you. He's a Heavenly Father that is not like our earthly fathers that were good, but they weren't perfect. And God is a personal God, and He wants a relationship with you. And so a relationship is us talking to one another, right? And communicating and talking. So if God is speaking, then we have a relationship. So the way that it's not intended is that God wouldn't speak to you. God, the heavens are silent. God wants to speak to you. And so the last time I looked, God is still speaking, but maybe there's something wrong with our hearing. Have you noticed that people that can't hear sometimes can't speak properly? Yeah. Y'all pray for me. Amen. Because I need to speak properly. I'll tell you about the hearing in a moment today. Irma sure is praying for me. Give me a good amen. And so in John chapter 10, Jesus speaks about something to give the audience, because they were asking questions. And so, again, you ask for it, questions. Jesus got questions asked to them, and He answered them by telling stories or telling illustrations, and they were farmers in that era. So in John chapter 10, 3 on the big screen, speaking about the shepherd, that God is that shepherd and we're the sheep. In the Old Testament, He's the great shepherd and we're the sheep of His pasture. Right, everybody? And so the gatekeeper opens the gate for Him. And the sheep, what do? They listen to Him. They listen to His voice, right, everybody? And so He calls the sheep all by name. And I love that. There's Betito, there's Alex, there's Mario, there's Irma, there's Lisa, there's Soph. He knows there's Portfolio. He knows us all by name. Amen. And He knows your name. And He knows the stars by name, but He knows your name, right, everybody? And He leads them out. And when He brought them out all to His own, He goes ahead of them. And so God knows what's up ahead. You may not know, but God does. And if you're with God, you're going to be all right. If you're not with God, then you need to get with God. Give me a good amen. So you get all right. And so He brings them out, and He goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Yeah, the voice of the shepherd. Come on. No. Come this way. Come this way. My dog, Joe, is going deaf. And so now I'm doing hand signals to him. And I have to go like that to come. And he looks at me eyeball to eyeball. Man, I remember that dog could hear. Amen. But now he's getting older. Amen. And y'all pray for his healing, because I'm laying hands. I don't want to take him to the vet yet. Amen. Give me a good amen. Anyway, I'm sorry I said that out loud. Amen. Give me a good amen. But. They'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they run away from him because they don't come on down here. Come on down this dark alley. No, I don't know. You might hit me with a baseball bat if I go down that. I don't know your voice. And they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Right, everybody? You ever get that phone call from the unknown or a phone number you don't recognize, even if it's in San Antonio? And if you're like me, I love attention, so I answer the phone. And then I realize, hey, I don't know you, so, you know, don't sell me anything. Or if they get it, hey, I'm calling you from my office phone, and I'm not supposed to be on the office phone, but I'm calling you anyway, Pastor. You know, so I find, oh, I recognize your voice, even though I didn't recognize the number. And that's the same thing with the sheep. See, God is speaking, and at every moment that He's spoken to you, I guarantee you in this room, it's been a defining moment in your life. It's been a moment that it defines you when you hear yes, or you hear God says, wait, pause, go this way. No. Pause, go left, go right. Because it defines us when God speaks to us, and it sets our course and purpose. There are two couples that I was in my small group on Wednesday night, and we sat over here in a circle. And out of nowhere, the discussion led to the point about how God had called them to living faith. And how they'd come back, and they heard the same voice, and it was this voice, welcome home, or come home. And they went to other churches, which that isn't bad, but that wasn't their home. And they came here, and they said, this is my home. This is where I belong. And they heard come home, and they're going to have lunch together one day, because they both had the same stories. And I just found that incredible when you hear from God. It was a defining moment in their life. Do you understand that today? There are things that, why can't we hear from God? I believe there are weapons of mass distraction. Yeah. They distract. We get distracted so easily, and God is there waiting, but we're so busy in life. And it's difficult to hear God's voice, but what I want you to do, Living Faith, today is turn down the world, and let's turn up God's voice. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked that question, because it's a great question to ask. Amen. I believe we do it because we turn down God, and we turn up things. We turn up busyness. Somebody shout busyness. You're too busy for a relationship. The most important relationship, of course, is God that we have. But how many have ever talked to that person? Maybe they're in their 30s or 40s. And, nah, I ain't married. Why ain't you married? I'm too busy. You liar. You just don't nobody like you. No. Nobody wants to put up with you, right? Yeah, they're 18. If they're, you know, 16 years old, come on, Dad. Amen. Especially if they're your daughter. Amen. You're too busy for a relationship right now. I'm a dad that way. How about you, right? They start getting 30, man. Come on. I'll keep supporting you. Amen. Get married. You're not too busy. Get in a relationship. Give me a good amen. Luke chapter 10, Jesus had some best friends, and he went to their house for caldito, amen. He went for their house maybe for some arroz con pollo. I don't know what they were working, and they were best friends. And the Amplified Bible really spells it out better. It's a great version to have. You can put it on your Bible gateway, open it up if you don't. And it says this, and he had a sister named, somebody say Mary. If you're Mary, man, if your name's Mary here at Living Faith, you're going to be applauded today. And she's the one that sat at the Lord's feet, and she listened to his teaching, and she was in the right position. She had the choice to do the right thing, and she did the right thing. But Martha, she was overly occupied, and somebody say, too busy. And she was distracted by the serving that she was doing, and there was just too much going on in her life. And she was just too busy for a relationship with Jesus. But sitting at the feet of Jesus, she was hearing, Mary was hearing everything that the Lord would tell her so tenderly. What a beautiful picture. You got to make time for God. Yeah, we all do. In 2016, a year ago, I was seeing two doctors on a regular basis. I had some health issues come up, man. I couldn't believe it, but he makes me lie down in green pastures. And so I said, you know, I went to these doctors, and 2016 ended, and you know what happened? Man, those doctors helped me. Jesus helped me. I got healed, but the doctors helped me too. And then so in 2017, they kind of left me at 2016. I said, hey, you're doing well. Call us when you need us. Well, I didn't call them all for 2017 now. And, you know, it's September, October, and I finally get these ring, ring, and they're calling me from the doctor's office, their assistants, and they're saying, hey, where have you been? We haven't seen you. We want the copay. You need to come back. And I think God is that way at times. Like, where have you been? Why haven't you seen? Not, God doesn't need a copay, but God misses his time with you. God has an appointment with you, each of us, that we should make that appointment time, and we should come back to God. Health crisis or not health crisis. Do you understand that today? And we make that time and everything goes better. There's a beautiful scripture. It's not on the screen, but it says this in Psalms 46. Be still and know that I am. Because when you're moving around, you don't know that he's God because you're trying to be God. Because when you're anxious and frustrated, you're not still. But you get to the place of stillness, you know that he is God, right, everybody? All of us in this sanctuary are battling something. I guarantee it. Along with the chief sinner up here, as I told somebody on the back row the other day, and you're looking at the chief sinner up here. We're all battling something, so we all need to go to God and move away from that busyness and say, God, help me in this area. I need your life right now. I need an appointment with God, right, everybody? But I need to still myself, right? Make a regular appointment with God. When is your best time? For some of you, it's at 5 in the morning. For me, I'll be real honest with you. At 5 in the morning, that's not my best time. One size doesn't fit all. Right, everybody? Your best time might be at lunch. Your best time might be at 5 p.m. when you get off work. Your best time might be when you're driving in the car and going home. Right, everybody? Your best time. When is your... Get that regular time and give God your best time. Do you understand that today? And we have that today. The quieter you become, the more that you'll hear God today. Right, everybody? They call Sunday for most Christians a Sabbath day. That's a day of rest. That's the day you come to church and we worship God and we serve the Lord. We worship one and serve one. And I would want you to make it a pure Sabbath, to dedicate yourself even more as your pastor to the Lord. That would mean, why don't you just, we get busy on Sundays too. And God wants you to unplug so the rhythm of life can happen in your life and you can really truly rest in the Lord today. Make it a pure Sabbath today. Rest in the Lord today. Enjoy your day with your family. Worship God today. Even after you leave here, like as Roger was saying, we worship the Lord. We drive away worshiping God in our car and worshiping God in our home. One of the best things that Irma and I do when the sun goes down usually and it's not as hot on Sunday, we try to do the Leon Valley Greenbelt with our bikes. And we ride, man, and we ride and we ride. And she's behind me, man, and she's trying to pass me. I go, no way, you're not going to pass me because I come... even on the bike routes. And it's just a way to unplug and rest and get our perspective and get our lungs full of God's good air, even though we have allergies out there, right, everybody? And it's just make it your regular appointment, but make it your best time, right, everybody? Competing voices is a second thought. God is speaking, but others are speaking louder, and you'll not be able to hear if others are speaking louder. In a stadium, have you noticed when everybody's cheering? That somebody can be right next to you, but if your ears aren't as sharp as they once were, yeah, they're calling you, it's good. God is saying hello, finally, amen. So, and have you noticed that you can't even hear the person next to you if your ears are a little bit dull, where you used to be able to hear them because everybody's cheering? But if that stadium's empty and they're across in that bowl-type stadium setting, they can be shout, but you can hear them as clear as day because of the optics in that stadium, right, everybody? And so you hear clearly today, and I want you to do that. Jesus told the story one time about people not hearing him clearly. And one guy said, you know, I got to go tend to my father's land. I got to go do this for my dad. I got to go get married. I got to go do my business. I got to go do this, and I don't really have time. And they were all these competing voices, and Jesus was saying, really, you don't have time for me then, if you're going to go do all that, because I should be the first place. Don't have anything in front of God. Are y'all with me today? Think about the competition against God. And it's usually everything digital that you can hold in your hand, that you're holding in your hand right now. Even right now, I saw you on the back row. Give me a good amen. Amen. Just can't let go of that phone. You're texting constantly. You're Snapchatting. You're Facebooking. Hey, why not instead of Facebook, get in the face of God? Just saying, amen. Twitter, amen. They say children between the ages of 8 and 18, you're on the cell phone for at least 8 hours a day in social media. That's almost 56 hours a week. And some of you 30-year-olds, you're competing with them. Give me a good amen. Yeah, you just spend too much time. In the small group circle that I was at on Wednesday, this one lady said, you know what? I went on this trip, this day trip, and I forgot my home, my phone at home. And I, you know what, when I realized that we were an hour away from San Antonio, that I didn't have my phone anymore, but you know what, we weren't going to go back because I was going to enjoy the scenery. And you know what, when I got home, the world was still okay because the cell phone was at home. I love one of our elders. What they do, I think they still do it, they leave their phone in their car on Sunday morning because they want that pureness of somebody not texting them, not bothering them. Because the world can wait. I need to listen to God right now. I don't want anything competing against what God is. Before you say good morning, America, amen, say good morning, Lord. Before you tune on anything, I got to check Facebook as soon as I wake up, amen. And it's competing against God, and you're saying, no, I'm going to say good morning to the Lord. You set boundaries, and it's good for you, amen. Hebrews chapter 12 on the big screen in your handout, yes. It says, since we're surrounded by so many great examples of faith, Abraham, Isaac, your mother, your father, if they live for God, abuelo, amen. We must get rid of everything that slows us down. It's the Greek culture during this time, when the Hebrew writer was watching this, he was saying literally, be like the runners of the marathon in the Greek races, where they're not letting anything slow them down, so they're getting rid of everything. And they would run naked. They invented streaking before they did it in the 70s. Because they didn't want anything to hinder them as they ran the race. They wanted to win the race, so they didn't want anything to hold them back. You know, I put on that sweatshirt, and I see these guys wearing these tight, you know, polyester wind-resistant things that are so thin, and, you know, my shorts are a little bit longer. You know, if you're wearing some of those tight shorts as a man, you're not allowed to come to this church. We wear those shoes nowadays that they're called feather lights, right? Because we want to be able to walk like it's air, and we're walking on air, and we're moving because we want. In the days of the Greeks and Hebrews, this writer didn't want anything to, they wanted to run the race. And says anything that would slow you down, especially the sin that distracts us, anything that is competing, we run the race. Are y'all okay with me today? Because y'all are looking, I think you're still visualizing somebody that's running. Amen. Think back of the Bible. Now, let's come back. And we run the race that lies ahead of us, not giving up, and we focus on who, yeah. To hear the voice of God, you got to turn down the voice of the world, right, everybody? Somebody shout, unprepared heart.
Unprepared heart.
You get back your heart, and you get back to it ready to receive. How do you get ready for church? Well, I wear my Sunday best. I get ready, you know. I just, you know, we come to church, and we're driving, and maybe the radio's blaring full loud, and it's okay if it's K-Love, but maybe we just prepare our heart by not even listening to anything until we get to the house of the Lord, and we silence ourselves and we're quiet before God so He can hear us today. Are you really ready? Are you ready to receive from God when you go to your prayer time and you go to your battle room or you go to your prayer closet or you sit in the front seat of your car? And are you really, really ready to receive from God? Jesus told the story about seeds and soil. And He said, you know, you scatter seeds in this ground, you scatter seeds in this ground, and it's on the screen and it's in your handout. Let's read it together on three. You hadn't had any fun all day. Would you read it with me on three? Are you ready? Yeah? Yeah. One, two, three, go. When anyone hears and does not take it in and just remains on the surface, so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of. Are y'all, wait, is this side reading? Because I'll call every one of you up here and it'll look like a choir. You better help me read. This side knocked that out of the park. I don't know where you guys are at. So because of that now, if I scattered seed up here on this stage and, you know, it didn't vacuum or it didn't get done, but thank God for Diane Ruiz and the rest of the cleaning crew. They clean. But if it didn't, and it would come a year from now, it still wouldn't be growing. But if I scattered it in the fertile soil that we have around our land here at Living Faith in a year, and if it was taken care of, it would grow. And God is saying some of us are surface, so surface, we come and go, and we're not planted, we're not staying, we're not growing. And God, you're having difficulty in life because God comes to a prepared environment. God will come to a prepared environment. God's not going to come to some, He's not going to waste His time on something that is not prepared. His word's too precious. Do you understand that today? His glory is so good that you got to prepare your heart for it, right, everybody? I was doing the hearing test in 2016, like I told you, a lot. And every time they would do this thing, I would have this little wand in my hand with this little button on top, and they would put me in this padded room. I don't know why they put me in that padded room. They didn't. Maybe they were preparing me for something, amen. But every time they would hear, okay, Mr. Navar, you're going to hear these beeps. And you're going to hear these tones. And every time you hear the tone, I want you to, no matter how low it is, I want you to press this button. That way we register. And so, man, I was hearing stuff. It was loud sometimes. And then it would go real faint and drift off. And then I started saying, man, did I hear that? It sounded like a mosquito. Was that a mosquito? And you know, I don't know what I was pushing after a while. But the younger that you are, the better that you hear. Have you noticed? The older that you get, the duller that your hearing gets. And older people like me can't hear their cell phone ring. Come on, Dad, answer your phone. Is it ringing? And then you see it lighting up, right? Anybody had that experience? It's embarrassing. Are your young people? In London, there was this posh shopping area where there was just high sell products and dresses and clothing. And teenagers found out about that because they had some slopes right by it. And so the skaters from London came over, and they were using it like left and right. And the owner started losing business because all these teenagers were hanging out in front and running away the people with money that wanted to buy stuff. And he told them to scat, get away, but they would still come back and hinder the traffic flow. So this man at the boutique in London, he hired this man named Howard Stapleton. And he says, would you invent something? Would you do something to repel these teenagers? Because I'm losing business. And so he put speakers up all around the business on the outside. And it was called the mosquito repellent sound. And it was a low-pitched sound that only teenagers could hear because their hearing was so good. And eventually, within a week or so, the teenagers didn't want to be around there because it made them so uncomfortable. The 30-year-olds that had money, the 40-year-olds that had money, they returned. And the sound kept going, but they couldn't hear it. Amen? And I think God is trying to speak still, but we get older in God, or we get older in the things. And if you're a young person here, you can still get competing and unprepared heart and busyness, and God's still trying to speak to you. Do you understand that today? But we dull ourselves from spiritual hearing. And that's young or old in this room, that you can hear God again. Give me a good amen in the spirit, and I want you to do that. So get the sound of God's voice back. Dream again. Hear God again. Listen to the Lord again. Plug yourself into God again. Get into His presence again. And God will visit you again. Right, everybody? In the Old Testament, God's voice was so precious. It was like the oil being dropped on Jesus, and not one drop was missed. And he didn't. And so when it went away like that, it said the voice of God was very rare. And it meant that it just was, no one really heard God. They weren't listening to God. He was still speaking, but nobody was accustomed to hear His voice anymore. And there was an older man that was the high priest, and his name was Eli. And he heard the voice of the Lord once in his younger days. And he'd gotten so accustomed and patterned and went through the formulas that he lost God's voice. A young boy shows up named Samuel, and Hannah says, train my son to become a prophet. And he said, certainly I will. And the young boy begins to hear God, but the older man doesn't hear God anymore. And it's a powerful story. It's in 1 Samuel 3. You can look at it in your Bibles or look at it on the big screen. It's easier probably to do that because the voice of God being so precious, and nobody was hearing God's voice. It says the lamp of God had not gone out yet. Somebody say the lamp of God. It hasn't gone out yet. God's word is still speaking to you. Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord. Somebody say, house of the Lord.
House of the Lord.
Where the ark of the Lord was. And the Lord called to him and said, Samuel. Samuel answered, here am I. And Samuel ran back to Eli and says, here am I. You called me? But Eli said, no, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Look, it continues. And so he went down and he lied and again lied down. And again the Lord said, Samuel. And Samuel got back up and went to Eli and said, here am I, you called me? My son, Eli, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not know yet the Lord, and he did not know the word of the Lord. In other words, he didn't know how to respond to God. He hadn't been trained in that way. And so the third time, somebody say third time.
Third time.
Yeah. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up, and he went to Eli, and he said, here am I, you called me? And Eli realized that the Lord had been calling. Finally, the elder got it, and he said, Eli, he told Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I'd like us just to say that right now. Say it, speak, Lord. Yeah, make it a little prayer right now with me. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is listening. Would you say that? Yes. Amen. And so Samuel went and he lay down at his place. Look at this last part. The Lord came. This is so beautiful. So awesome. Speaking to our young people today. And he stood there calling him out as other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak. Your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that's going to make the ears of everyone here about to tingle. In other words, I'm going to start speaking again. I'm going to use you, Samuel. I'm going to use you, God is saying. I'm going to speak to you so you can speak to your generation, so you can speak to your people, so you can speak to the people that you influence. God can still speak to you, every one of us in this room, right, everybody? you create an environment where God can speak to you. Show me this slide real quick, Daisy, if you could, the next one. It's just breaking down that first thought. Somebody say the lamp of God. What is that? I'm about to tell you that. Samuel's lying down in the house of God. Now, some of us get good naps in church. Give me a good amen. The best nap I've ever taken had been in church, right, while I was preaching. I mean, that was an amazing sermon that day. So, but he was in the house of God. I'm about to tell you about that. And then where the ark of God was, and the Lord called Samuel. God's still calling. And I'm going to give you three principles about shutting down things so we can hear God. Let's look at God, how God speaks. God speaks, number one is this, as we read the word. That's been his foundation. That's the way he speaks. God never speaks to me. Well, you just need to open the Bible. God is still speaking. We're just not disciplined enough to have a daily reading, a daily devotion, just one verse in us. Get something. Get a hold of God. The lamp of God has not gone out yet. The lamp, what is the lamp? The lamp is the word. The word of God, right? In Psalms 119 on the screen, the word of the Lord, the word of God is the lamp for my feet, the light for my path, right? So you get into the book, and the book gets into you, and you start living the book because the book's in you. But daily, the book comes alive in you, right, everybody? Because you read it. You make a fresh commitment again with me. Bookmarkers are right outside. Daily reading that you got for October through December. We'll have January out there. And you can get a fresh commitment. That's what I do. And I also have apps on my phone that I do the challenges that YouVersion does. And I'm going through the James Challenge now. It's incredible. You can do that if you have a smartphone. Now, you start your day. However you start your day, when you walk in, you fortify yourself with God's Word so you can make it. There's just something about having the Word of God on your lips and you're close to God and you can get through the day and God is speaking to you. So I worked at a larger church and I was on staff there and it was like, man, I don't know what was going on, but I faced the battle of my life being in there. I was younger. God was working out some stuff and I know every test is from God for me to pass, just like it is in your life. And so I had this demonic pastor, I mean this demonic boss, that oversaw me, and he told me, you know, he was always on me. So I would go an hour before work, and I would sit in the sanctuary of the church because that's where we worked, and I would sit in the quietness of that sanctuary, and I would read God's Word. And this one particular day, Wednesday or work day, before we had the holy roll call where they saw everybody show up at 8, and we would hold hands and pray, the word was that I got, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then there's a marrying scripture, because it was the Old Testament, that says, what can mere man do to me if I'm with the Lord? It's a powerful scripture. So I had that on my lips, and that was the theme of my day. I got something, one thing on my lips, and I carried it with me the rest of the day, and you can do the same. And so that demonic pastor, I mean that boss of mine, came to me, and he told me something, because he was always teasing me, and he was saying, what are we going to do to Nava Boy today? And I went to him. I just, you know, I was kind of brash. And I just said, what can mere man do to me? And he went, then he came back at me and he said, we're going to see what we can do to you today. And I said, help me, Jesus, make it through the day. Amen. Do you understand your workplaces can be places that God works through you? Because that's what it says in the Bible, right? And God wants you ready. And if you're not ready, then you're going to get all sorts of demonic. That thing that's happening at your job, it's spiritual. Because you're spiritual. Give me a good amen. Amen. And if you don't fortify yourself by reading God's word, you're going in there really spiritually naked. And you're going to get blown away. That's why your home needs you to read the Bible when you have a rebellious home going on. And there's things going on in your marriage and you need your wife to understand or you need your husband to understand. And you're not doing anything of reading the word. You haven't gone back to that time of meeting God. And I guarantee you, if you cry for help and put your hope in the word, that God will meet you. Every one of us in this room. Amen. Amen. God's your source, not that paycheck. Amen. God is your source. The second way God speaks to you is as we cultivate his presence. That's just big church talk. It really just means worship. It says this, that Samuel was lying down in the house of God where the ark of God was. You ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? You watch movies here? Yeah. So show me that slide. That the ark of God, where those cherubs are, and no small cherubs like that. They're mighty, but that's the way Hollywood portrays them. And they're like this. And that usually looks that posture. That always means that they're bowing before God and worshiping 24/7 earth time, not heaven. Heaven time doesn't even, I mean, it overdoes earth time. And it just means the worship that they have. That's the position that they're in because they're worshiping God. If you want God to talk to you, worship needs to rise. Worship rises and God will speak to you. He does it all the time. I don't feel like it. That's not my song that they're singing. I don't want to right now. My flesh is weak. I'm irritated right now. God just brings that sacrifice of praise. And if you worship Him beyond yourself and get out of yourself, God will show up because He loves you. And He just does something in your life. Is everybody with me today? Right, everybody? Worship God and God will just, there they are. Living faith, man. They're worshiping God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16 that the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the whole earth to see a heart that is completely dedicated to Him. And if it finds itself dedicated to Him and Him only, God strongly supports that individual. In the New Testament, Jesus said, God is looking for worshipers that worship Him in spirit and in truth, right? God is looking for people to worship Him. Amen. So we worship other things on this earth. The last time I looked, the San Antonio Spurs did not die for my sins. The last time that I looked, the Dallas Cowboys did not have 39 lashes, vicious lashes on their back for my healing. Jesus did that, right? The last time that I looked, Jerry Jones wasn't building me a house in heaven. But God is. By the way, the Cowboys did get beat viciously last week, amen, but not for us, amen. And we need to pray for them. Give me a good amen. Passionate worship, amen. You become more indignified as David. David worshiped God so hard one time that he danced himself out of his clothes. Imagine that, amen. Imagine these guys on the platform, amen. Without, they got good abs. Come on, guys. How about you? Amen. No, you keep your clothes on too. Give me a good amen. Make sure you button them up. Amen. God speaks as we cultivate His presence. In Genesis 3:8, are you there with me? Let's read it out loud, out strong on three. What? On three. One, two, three, go. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from... The cool of the day right there is that ruach that we spoke of the Holy Spirit last week, the Spirit of God. They got to the garden. The garden wasn't the highway as much as we want to maybe pray on the road, but the garden was the place of separation, that prayer closet, that place where they met God. And the sad thing, though, it's filled with tragedy because they hid themselves from the Lord. There's this pastor that wrote a book named Bill Hybels, and I strongly encourage everyone to read it. He's a great pastor in Chicago, and it's called Whisper, and it speaks about hearing God. And there's this story that he tells about one of his church members named Tom. And Tom was an advertising just guru and just million-dollar guy business. And he came to meet Pastor Hybels at the end of the service, and he said, Pastor, that thing that you said about meeting God every day, I don't know. That's not the real world. He said, I'm up at 5:30, driving downtown Chicago traffic, and I get home at 7:30. So don't get mad at me, get mad at Bill Hybels about the story. And he said, you know, that's not reality. Why would you tell us to do something like that? And Bill Hybels told them, he said, Tom, whatever you value, you'll make time for. And if you value the voice of God in your life, and God in your life, you're going to make time for God. And he said, you know, I thought that was it. Tom was going to leave and I'd never see him in church. But he kept coming. And he came back about 3 months later and he said, Pastor, we'd like to have you over for dinner, you and your wife. And would y'all come? And he said, yeah, let me just check the calendar. And they went about a week later. They lived there in the neighborhood. They drove up And while they're about to eat and they're getting everything ready, he said, "Pastor, come follow me. I want you to check out this deck I have." And he had out there this beautiful rocking chair. It was new. And he said, "That thing that you told me about valuing God and the time that I need to spend with him, well, I bought this rocking chair. It's a nice one." He said, "And I sit in that rocking chair and I read God's word every day and I look towards the Lord and I pray and I seek God, and God's showing up." And he said, "I haven't missed one day, and I love that time that I have with God." He said the time kept going, and he said Tom grew in his leadership walk with the church, and everyone got to know him. The church was smaller then than it is now. Presently, it's a giant church. And he said that Tom came to him again, and he says, "You know, I've been doing that rocking chair thing, meeting with God, and God has spoken to me, and he says, you know what, that he wants me to do something more eternal with my life. I've made a lot of money, and I'm able now, I want to come work for the church." And Pastor Heibel said, "You know, I just don't want to be responsible." He said, "No, I have enough money in savings that I can live." He said, "No, this is your livelihood, though." He said, "Go back to the rocking chair and make sure you heard from God, because I don't want to be responsible for you not getting a paycheck every week." And so he came back, and a week later he said, "I resigned my job. I'll be there Monday morning to work for the church." And he became this great leader, staff member in the church, and he worked, and he was fruitful, and his ministry grew, and and they were able to pay him eventually. Wasn't that good? Yeah. And it kept growing. He said, well, he came to him again a season later. Pastor Abel says he was one of the best staff members ever had. He said that that he came back to him. He said, "Pastor, I want to go," years later, "I want to go help my friend plant a church in Colorado Springs." He says, "I want to move away." And he says, "You know, I'm going to work again in advertising." And he says, "I'm going to support the church plant with the money that I make so this my friend and I can plant this church." And he says, "Well, go pray again to the rocking chair, and then I'll bless you, and you can go." So he went back, and he prayed. And sure enough, he moved to Colorado, got a great job in advertising, helped support and plant that church. It's thriving now. Well, a couple of years ago, he got a phone call, and the story doesn't end like we want it to end here on earth, like you'd want to end it, like a Disney story. And he got a phone call, and he said that same rocking chair that he had rocked and took to Colorado, he got bad news as he read the doctor's report. He said they had an incurable cancer that had invaded his body. And he asked God for a miracle. He said, "Lord, heal me. You're a healer. You can heal my body." And he said the miracle didn't come that way. Another miracle came. It's called the miracle of peace. And peace came to his life, and it enveloped him. The sadness of it is eventually he had to go to a hospital bed because he couldn't stay in the rocking chair anymore. And he went to be with his Heavenly Father and now has his reward in heaven. They called Pastor Heibels and said, "Would you do the funeral?" And they came, and he did the funeral for the man. And they asked his wife, Pastor Heibels, at the end, says, "Do you still have the rocking chair?" He said, "Oh, yeah. That rocking chair now will be a legacy item that we'll give to our son. And he'll give it to his grandson. We'll pass it on because something happened in the rocking chair. God met him there. And he had a meeting time with God." And God's not you may not have a rocking chair. You may just have a pickup truck and you're sitting in the front seat. Amen. But if you make a time with God, he will meet you there. If you have your living room, God, go to God in that garden like Adam and Eve were hiding out, and God will meet you there. Oh, and tell God about everything. "God, I'm scared because of this report. God, I'm mad. God, I'm angry." And God will meet you there. Tell God how you feel. Right, everybody? Amen. Heartfelt worship. The last thing, some of you guys that are OCD, you need to fill in the blank. I know how you are. Amen. I'm going to give it to you right now. Here he goes. As you get planted in the church, God's voice is clear as you get planted in the church. I strongly believe this with all my heart. Samuel was lying down in the house of God. That's more than planted. Give me a good amen. Right, everybody? Amen. Irma and I, if this wasn't our church, check this out. If this wasn't our church, we know of at least five churches in San Antonio that we would plan ourselves into if this wasn't our church. But this is our church. And so we're planted in this church. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And the local church is the hope of the world. Not living faith, you in the local church are the hope of the world. Right, everybody? Amen. I never will forget when we were remodeling building one. We were putting sheetrock up and insulation into the walls. And it was me and this other brother, who's still with us, by the way. And it was the morning time, and we'd gotten there before J students had shown up. And so J student starts hanging out. They start coming up. And all of a sudden, we're in there, and I start smelling something that I hadn't smelled since the 70s. I said, is that marijuana? Is that weed, dude? Is that weed? And then we went outside the door, and sure enough, right in the front, right where the mailbox is at, sin vergüenza, amen, right there, there was a student, you know, taking a hit, you know. And then I was like, but that guy that was with me, he said, this is the house of the Lord. You put that out right now. And I looked at him, and then they told him like this word. It's an F word, but it's not faithful. Amen. It's another word. And he said, what did you say? And he takes off, and he like starts moving towards them, and they start running. And this guy, who's still with us, starts chasing them. He chased them all the way back to John Jay High School. One person says amen. The law, amen. Who has grace, who has mercy, amen. Thank God we need everybody at Living Faith. This place would be a disaster, right, everybody? Those that wanted to say amen. She was the only one brave enough. Give me a good amen. I'm not saying necessarily that's the way, but you ought to love the church that you go to. You ought to get involved. You ought to plug in. You ought to plant. Your pastor should know you wherever you choose to go. The life of the people should know you. People around, your brothers and sisters should know you. They ought to know you. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
I say this again, and I say it afresh. I've been saying it for years. You give us one life, 1 year. You give us 1 year of your life in this place, and you really plug in with a faithfulness attitude, right? And you go through it, your life will be better after 1 year. I guarantee it. And if it's not, I'll go with you after it's, you can leave, but I'll go with you. Is that okay with everybody?
Amen.
Y'all will get it at 3:00 in the morning, some of you, amen? Life has to get better. You're in the house of God. You planted yourself. Look at this beautiful verse. I think we're finished up here. Psalms 92. Read it together. Come on, everybody. We haven't had 100% since last week, I think. Can I have 100% people reading Psalms 92? Let's declare the word of the Lord off of our lips. It's powerful. It's true, right, everybody? On three. One, two, three. My eyes, my ears have heard. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They've grown like the cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. God will speak to you in your small group. God will speak to you in your growing in faith class. You pour yourself in. God will speak to you on Wednesday night. God will speak to you on Sunday morning. Every good thing that has happened to me while I've been in church. Every good thing in my life has happened, besides the hospital where my 2 kids were born, every good thing that has happened to me in my life has happened to me in church. I was saved in church. Outside of that small group in that apartment complex off Ritterman Road, there was a small group from a church. I left, but we were a church in that parking lot. I got saved in a church. I got called to the ministry at an altar in a church. It was in a church. I met my beautiful wife in a
church.
I met my life brothers and sisters that are in this room, some of them that are lifers, because I was in a
church.
I was healed in a church. Because I got healed. God healed me. Everything that's happened to me good is because I went to church and I was in a church. Right, everybody? And so God's not finished. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me. I wasn't sad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the
Lord.
You just need to get into the right environment and God will begin to speak to you today. Right environment. See, mangoes don't grow in Canada or Alaska. Mangoes grow in South Texas, Brownsville. They'll grow in Florida because that's the right environment for my favorite fruit, which is mango. To grow, right? And so you need to do the same. If you want the right fruit, blessings, hearing from God, not the curse off your life. You need to get into the right environment. And it's the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. Everyone in this room, it's the heart. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us. How we need your help, Lord. The Word of God, Lord. Worship. In the house of God. The Word of God, Lord. Worship in the house of the Lord. Would you do this with me right now, everyone in the room, in the sanctuary, the beautiful sanctuary? Would you say sincerely, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Say that with me. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I don't want to be too busy, Lord, for a relationship with you. Call me back to that place, Lord. I want to hear God's voice, so I'm turning down the volume, Lord, this week. I'm going to take my notes and I'm going to look at it. It's going to be me first, Lord. I'll go first. I'll listen to this, Lord. I want to listen to the word again. And I want you to prepare my heart, Lord. I want to be in a prepared environment. You want to grow things in my life that I haven't even yet touched. And so you want to do that with the people of God in this room. There are things that want to get done and through their lives that only you can do. So speak to us, Lord. Speak to me. As you stand a prayerful attitude and every head's bowed and every eye closed, we always give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior in this room. All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're far away from God. You're distant. The relationship with God is cold. And every time I feel that way, I pray what I'm about to pray. You've never said yes to Jesus. You're cold and distant from God right now. God wants you back. He says, "Welcome home. Come home. You're not joining this church. You're welcome back." I won't embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand's lifted slightly, just slightly, and I'll note that hand, and I'll pray a prayer. You'll pray it right where you're at.